speak to us this morning. You just open my heart and just anoint me with the Spirit to speak the words of the Spirit. And I pray each heart to be open to receive the things of the Spirit. So we just thank you for your love and your goodness and that you are our teacher. So we just thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen, amen. We looked at the book of Daniel. We're going through the book of Daniel. Fascinating book. I'm having a good time going through and being challenged and study it. Let's look at Daniel chapter 2, verse 10 and 11. We'll start off here. The Chaldeans answered the king and said, "There's not a man on earth who can meet the king's demand, for no great and powerful king has asked such a thing of any magician or enchanter or Chaldean. The thing the king asks is difficult, and no one can show it to the king except the gods whose dwelling is not with flesh." As we're looking at the book of Daniel, and we see in his situation where as a young man, as a teenager, his country is, you know, basically turned upside down, destroyed. He's taken into a foreign kingdom, and he ends up in the king's court is to learn the languages and the literature and to be used as a resource by this Gentile king that destroyed his country. So that's the situation that we have, Nebuchadnezzar. And Nebuchadnezzar is a good read. Google Nebuchadnezzar and look it up. Fascinating guy. And very opulent, had an opulent kingdom. His kingdom was one of his hanging gardens at Babylonia. It was supposed to be one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. So he was a powerful king, and that what he said went, you know. We looked at last week where this king had a dream, and he had his dream, and we just kind of, you know, got the cart before the horse, but we went right to the king's dream. And in this dream that the king had, God revealed to this Gentile king, the future of the world. Now, we need to process all this. You know, well, God's not working with people who don't know Jesus. Oh, yeah, he is. All right? Oh, yeah, he is. Okay? And so you have a Gentile king who destroyed God's people, Israel, at the time. And God gives this Gentile king a vision of how the world is going to unfold. He gives him history in advance. This is what's going to happen up until the end of time when Christ comes back. So reveals it in a dream to this king, and he doesn't know what to do with the dream. He doesn't know how to interpret it. And so who interprets it for him is Daniel. God reveals to Daniel what the dream means, and he interprets it to the king. And so the king is impressed. Now, last week we looked at the statue, we looked at the dream, and tried to make some sense of it, of what the Lord said about the end of times. Now, what I want to do this morning is back up and look at the setting in which this happened. So last week, if you want to know what the end times were and what this statue was and kind of our take on it, okay, that's last week. But this week, what led up to it? What led up to it? How did this come about that this young Jewish boy is in a position to give this interpretation to the most powerful person in the world at that time? How did that happen? How did that happen? And then what we're going to see, how it happened, but we're going to see that there's an application for us today. There's an application for us today. You know, you can look at this statue and the future and the end times, and you want to start an argument within Christianity, just discuss the end times, okay? We don't even agree with each other, okay? But this principle here, everybody can get their arms around and say, no, this is what God's doing with us as people. Now, what we have here, we understand that God is in the business of revealing himself. Okay, I mean, we think, oh, God, if you just tell me. Oh, God, if you just show me. And he doesn't tell us, he doesn't show us, because we probably wouldn't do it and we'd be overwhelmed anyway, you know, and just go in our bedroom and suck our thumb and get in the fetal position, you know. So it's like, okay, you got to deal with what you got, you know. But God is in the business of revealing himself. He's in the business of revealing the good news of Jesus Christ. He's in the business of revealing the empowering of the Holy Spirit. God is doing that. And so he's working. He said, I got this plan. I'm going to use the church. He's going to use us. So he's going to move with us and reveal himself. He's going to reveal himself through the people of God. Now, here's one of the ways God moves to reveal himself. This is, y'all ready for this? One of the ways that God moves to reveal himself is to disrupt the things of this world and the plans of man. And all God's people said, amen. God, why did this happen to me? Because I'm going to show you something. But God, it was a perfect plan. Oh, it was the perfect investment. Oh, God. No, I'm going to disrupt that because I want you to see God. See, so that's how God moves in to reveal himself. He has to disrupt the things of this world because we think we got it nailed down. He has to disrupt our plans because we think we got it nailed down. And so God moves to disrupt the plans of this world and man. Now, and I think this is one reason why believers have a problem hearing and seeing God. You know what it is? Because we don't think anything should go wrong. Well, I love Jesus. Therefore, everything works out well. Okay, look at the person next to you who's probably a believer and see if that's true. It's not true. So why do you believe it? So there must be something else going on, all right? See, God is saying, no, I am moving and I'm doing stuff. And God said, I'm not real happy with this world. I'm not real happy with the plans of man and what I want to do. And I'm moving in to reveal myself. And to reveal myself, I have to disrupt this world and disrupt our plans. And since we kind of have a leaning to get in touch with the world because we think that's where our success is, he disrupts our plans because we're not supposed to trust in the world. We're supposed to trust in him. In him. Amen? Amen. And that's what he's doing. But I made the perfect decision that will take me all the way until I die and go be with Jesus. I'll have the perfect, you know, retirement. I'll have the perfect. God going, man, what are you doing? No, you focus on me. When you want to retire, I'll take you home. All right? This is not a retirement community. This is not what this is. You are here to make an impact, not to retire. You see what I'm saying? From God's mind, in our mindset, we start thinking differently. Now, God thinks this way, but he's trying to get us to think this way. Now, the world thinks that way, and we're in the world, but we're not supposed to think like the world. We're supposed to think like God thinks and move in the way he directs us. And that's why he disrupts the Christian world, because the Christian world is tied in to this world. And God said, no, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing it that way. Your focus is on me. Your focus is to be tied in me. You're to hear from me. So this picture of Daniel, we actually see this in Daniel where we can get a principle how God moves in Daniel's world. So we want to make an application. Now, as you look at this, God uses Daniel to interpret Nebuchadnezzar's dream. Now again, process this through. Daniel, the godly Jewish boy, interprets the evil Gentile king's dream. Why couldn't a God just told Daniel, the good kid? You know, I'm doing it right. Why didn't you just tell me? Why'd you tell him? You know, I don't even like him. You know, he doesn't like me. And if I do anything wrong, he's going to kill me. Yeah, no, I'm going to tell him, and I'm going to use you to minister to him. You know what that's called? The church. That's what that is, the church. That's why we're here, you know, for the Nebuchadnezzars of the world. You all with me? See? We think the Nebuchadnezzars of the world are here to irritate us from having a good life so we can retire on this planet. God's going, what are you thinking? What do you think? This, you're not in heaven. This is not heaven. When you retire, you'll be in heaven. Okay? And so you have God's process in this. Now, so we're going to look at this attitude of Daniel. So we want to look at Daniel's attitude in this tumultuous situation he finds himself in, and so we can learn something. But when we look at Daniel in this tumultuous situation, what I want you to know that all through the Bible, similar circumstances happen. God does the similar things that he does to Daniel. You look at Joseph, we'll look at Gideon, you look at all these people. He does the same situation. He puts them in an impossible situation. You know. And then you see how these people of God step up and he uses them. Therefore, we should be aware of these things. We should be aware that these things happen. So when they happen to us, we can cooperate with God. Amen? Well, let's look at this. So this is where we're going. This is where we're going. Now I've got about 6 points I want to make. And it will have kind of something that gives us that we can hold on to understand our own situation about how God's worked. Now, here's the first one. Okay, now the story is Nebuchadnezzar's had a dream. He doesn't know what it means, and it's bugging him. He's bugging him. Now, here's the first thing. The opportunity, and that's the title of the message. The opportunity. That's where we are in this world, is the opportunity. Things arise and come up before us, and they are opportunities. We call them a pain in the rear. But God goes, no, it's an opportunity. This is an opportunity. So what we're looking at, and God is saying, no, look at the situations around you. It's opportunities. So how do we recognize them? Here's the thing. We need to be alert to these opportunities and cooperate with God. Number one. Here's the number one. Write it down. Okay? Number one. God moves. God moves. Okay? Now this is kingdom awareness. Ultimately, a sovereign act of God is taking place. God moves. He's moving. The issue is us seeing it and recognizing it. Okay? God moves. Look at Daniel 2:1. In the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams. His spirit was troubled, and his sleep left him. God moved. Where did he move? With Nebuchadnezzar. Why don't you just tell me, God? I'm the one praying and asking for direction. No, God moved. And he moved in Nebuchadnezzar, the evil Gentile king. And he had a dream. And he's disturbed. See, so we said, well, we see this disturbance, you know. This guy, he's just off. He didn't get a good night's sleep. And he's taking out on me. Good grief. What a creep. No, God moved. You see that? God moved. So that's the number one thing we need to understand, to realize that God is stirring in the physical situations. He's stirring in the physical situations. And so we see these things happening. It's, okay, wait a minute. God is moving. And so you see where Nebuchadnezzar stirred and he had these dreams. Same thing happened in the book of Esther. We have the situation near Esther where the evil Haman is going to kill the good Mordecai. So the evil Haman, the king's number two guy, is going to kill the good Mordecai. So the evil Haman is going to kill the good Mordecai. I mean, that's my Christian life. You know, the evil Haman is going to kill the good Mordecai. Then what happens? Esther 6:1. On that night, the king, Xerxes, could not sleep. And he gave orders to bring the book of memorable deeds, the Chronicles, and they were read to the king. He liked to keep track of what's happening. You know what I'm saying? When he was bored, he'd just read it back to me. Kind of self-consumed, but anyway, that's what he did. Verse 2. And it was found written how Mordecai had told about two of the king's servants who had sought to lay hands on King Xerxes. And King Xerxes says, oh my goodness, what honor have we given to Mordecai? We need to honor him. Who's in trouble? Haman. Haman, because he's given orders to kill Mordecai. But God moved. And how did God move? King Xerxes couldn't sleep. I want you to bring me a book and read it. So he brings a book and read it. Hey, King Mordecai was the one. He was an instrument that saved your life, King. Well, let's do something good for Mordecai. God moves. God moves. As Christians, we know God moves. That's the number one thing we have to realize in any situations that's coming up. Says, what is God doing? He's moving. The point is, as believers, we need to be alert that the hand of God is moving around us. Did you know we were not the center of the universe? Did you know that you're not the center of the universe? Did you know that? You know? No, God is moving around us, and he's using us within his universe to tell us and show us certain things. Okay, you ready for number two? Number two, man moves. Man moves. This is kingdom awareness. A situation or a problem presents itself. See, ours is like, oh, God, get me out of this. This is terrible. I can't stand it. Why are you letting this happen to me? See, no, number two of the opportunity is man moves. Man moves. And see, what happens is this. Now that God has moved on a man that, by the way, doesn't know Jesus or the good people of God or anything else, because God moves on him, he moves. Our first glimmer to understand that God moved is the man moved. The man moved. We didn't see God talk to the man to give him the dream, but he moves. This man moves. And so here we have in Daniel 2, the second part of Daniel 2, 9, Nebuchadnezzar said, he got all the people, his advisors, he says, you tell me the dream. Remember, that's what we looked at last week. He goes, I had this dream, driving me crazy, really upset me. So he gets all these people around him, his advisors. He says, tell me the dream, and I shall know that you can show me its interpretation. Now, understand what happened here. Nebuchadnezzar didn't say, here's a dream, interpret the dream. He said, tell me the dream. Tell me the dream. And when God, we're going, but wait a minute, what dream? You tell me. You tell me. Then I'll know. I'll know you're the real deal. You tell me. See, I think Nebuchadnezzar kind of had an insight into his folks. I think he knew there's a little kind of shady bunch. He goes, and I don't think he trusted them. He says, I'll know if you're right. Tell me the dream. If you can tell me the dream, I'll believe the interpretation. Now, here, what he's asking, I mean, God has put pressure on Nebuchadnezzar. And you know what Nebuchadnezzar has done? He's put pressure on the people. How do we know that God's moved? Because he put pressure on the people. That's how we know God moved, because he put pressure on the people. See, here's the truth. Here's the truth. It is really, and it's something we should think about. When God puts pressure on authorities or other people, they put pressure on us. Somebody said, oh, God's putting this pressure on me. No, he didn't. He put it on somebody else, and they put it on you. See, why are these people doing this to me? I didn't do anything wrong. Because God put pressure on them, and they put pressure on you. And so if we have spiritual insight, we go, oh, my God, God put pressure on them, and so now they're putting pressure on us. Therefore, what is God doing? Instead of, oh, poor me, look what's happened to me. I can't do nothing right. I don't deserve this. We're going, wait a minute, whoa. God's moving. God's moving. What's happening? Something big's going on here. So if we have this, if we understand this, then we can see and perceive the things going around us. Y'all see what I'm saying? God puts pressure on other people and they put pressure on us. The key that God's moving is that other people are putting pressure on us. Remember that. That's the truth. I mean, same thing happened with Moses. And Pharaoh, look at Exodus 5, 6, and 7. Moses goes and says, let my people go. Let God's people go. Let them go. And Moses goes, and Pharaoh goes, who are you? Who are you? So there, God is, through Moses, putting pressure on Pharaoh. He said, let the people go. What's Pharaoh do? He goes, you tell those people to make bricks without straw. You know, they got too much time on their hands. See, they're making bricks. You know, let my people go. He goes, no, you make them make bricks with no straw. And then, you know, I'm tired of listening to this stuff. God put pressure on Pharaoh. Pharaoh put pressure on the people. So the key to the people were, oh my gosh, we have to make straw without bricks. God is really putting pressure on Pharaoh. Wow, that'd been a godly reaction. You know what their reaction was? I'm going to kill Moses. Hey, Moses, shut up. Don't go back to Pharaoh. We're done with you. You're not coming in here and telling us all this good stuff. And now we're making bricks with no straw. Pharaoh, it's always good to be God's prophet. They'll kill you. They'll kill God's prophet because it's like, I don't like this. But you see what I'm saying? Pressure came on Pharaoh, and Pharaoh put pressure on the people. The indication that God put pressure on Pharaoh was that he put pressure on the people. So you have a divine awareness of like, okay, something is about to happen. Something is about to happen. So we have a perspective. See, so we need to recognize that when others put pressure on us, God is putting pressure on them. When they put pressure on us, God is putting pressure on them so that we can show the glory of God. See, that's how we fit in the equation. That's how we fit in the equation. Now just process through this. God puts pressure on them. They put pressure on us. And then we can show the glory of God to them. That's how God works. The reason I want to make a point of this, because this is what God does throughout Scripture. He does it throughout Scripture. This very same principle. Now, if the situation is God moves, he puts pressure on people, they put pressure on us, therefore we see God moving, then therefore we know something is happening, and then we come to number three. Then we come to number three. The impossibility is the opportunity. The impossibility is the opportunity. Why? Why? Because God put pressure on them and they put pressure on us because God is doing something. So the impossibility is God, us seeing God move to do something only God can take care of. See, this is the problem with the church. We go, I don't know what's going on. You know, because he put us in something. He said, no, this is what I'm doing. I've told you in the scripture, you understand I'm moving. Just being under the pressure you're under, you know I'm doing something. Supernatural. Now look, here we'll look at Daniel chapter 2, verse 10. The impossibility is the opportunity. And these are the verses I opened up with. So he tells, Nebuchadnezzar tells all his advisors. He brings them all together, you know. You ever wonder how you want to stand out in the crowd? You know, you just want to think somebody look at you and say, oh, you're cute. And you stand out. It don't work like that, you know. It don't work like that. You know, how do you stand out in the crowd? It comes through a crisis situation and you have the opportunity to stand out or to fold. You got the choice. You got the choice. And this is what happened. Daniel's out there and his other three teenage guys, you know. I mean, what are three teenage Jewish kids? What do three teenage Jewish kids do? You know, they're out there just trying to mind their own business, all right? They're not trying to bug anybody. You got all these pagan advisors all around them, you know, and they're doing whatever, you know. And Nebuchadnezzar's just got these guys and they're feeding him information. They all look the same. They all look the same. But look what happens. Now everything's changed. Now everything, God moves. Man moves. And now the impossibility is the opportunity. The king said, tell me my dream. Tell me my dream. Oh, he added a footnote. Tell me my dream or I'm going to kill you. But read it. Read chapter 2. That's right. Tell me my dream or I'm going to kill you. Like it's like... And they say, verse 10, the Chaldeans answered the king and said, there is not a man on earth who can meet the king's demand. You're overboard. You're asking too much. There's not a man. There is not a man on earth who can meet the king's demand. For no great or powerful king has asked such a thing of any magician or enchanter of the Chaldeans. Nobody's ever done this. The thing that the king asks is difficult. No one can show it to the king except the gods whose dwelling is not with flesh. You know what? Gods couldn't even do this. Only the gods could do it, and they don't even dwell here. Oh, my. This is impossible. None of us can do it. We can't do it. Okay, he identified all those folks. We can't do it. See, God wants to create an impossible situation where he and he alone will get the glory. Remember, God is in the business revealing himself. So he'll put us in positions where if the answer comes through, only he gets the glory. Only he gets the glory, you know. And it's like, gosh, God moves, and what he does, he exposes the counterfeit. He exposes. You know how the counterfeit's exposed? In pressure. You know, the counterfeit. You know, like rats leaving a sinking ship. You know, he exposes the counterfeit. And this is a principle of God. Look, we had Gideon. I saw the study up there. Gideon, I enjoy Gideon. How many go with the ladies' study and watch read that? That's a great study. I have to highlight Gideon's study. Excellent. I love Gideon. But Gideon, God calls Gideon. Hey, see these, here you got a bunch of evil guys. The Mennonites are coming. The Mennonites are going to come, and they're just wiping out Israel. Israel's always getting wiped out by somebody. You ever notice that? Here the Mennonites are coming. And so Gideon raises this army, 32,000 guys. Okay, we'll go fight. God tells him, okay, we'll go fight the Midianites, 32,000 people. And so they get ready to fight the Midianites. In Judges chapter 7, verse 2, it says this. The Lord said to Gideon, the people with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into your hand, lest Israel should boast over me, saying, my own hand has saved me. You know, you got 30,000 people. You're going to conquer them, and you're just going to take all the credit, and you're not going to praise me. You're not going to believe I had anything to do with it. Yeah, I mean, God just, he knew what was going to happen. He knew what was going to happen. So what does God do? Here's the kingdom principle. The kingdom principle here. God reduces Gideon's army from 32,000 to 300 to carry out his work. He said, we can't do this 32,000. You know, you're just like, hey, look at my army. I'm a good general. Got this big army. We kicked some butt out there, man. We did the job. He goes, no, that ain't going to work. Do it with 300. And then you'll know, man, ain't nobody but God could whip these people with 300 people. We'll have to give God the credit if we do it 300 people. See, brothers and sisters, the great truth of God, the impossibility is the opportunity. But we got to know what's happening in the spiritual. You know, and this is just me, you know, and I'm all for loving Jesus. And I'm all for Jesus loving me. But I think you ought to know something else. You know, I think you all know, so, Jesus loves me, and I love Jesus. And the first time anything goes wrong, you go, oh, Jesus doesn't love me. You know, and I don't, he didn't love me, I'm not going to love him. You know, or I just question him, I'm mad at him. And it just, because there's no substance. The truth is, Jesus loved you. That's the truth. But if there's no substance, the first time there's a problem, you just throw in the towel and moan and cry and whine. And that's the reason God tells us, yeah, I love you. I died for you, forgiving your sin. But I want you to know, there's some heat coming. There's some pressure coming. I'm going to put some pressure on some folks. And those folks are going to put pressure on you. And this is your opportunity. In this impossibility, there's an opportunity to show my glory. All right? But if we don't understand, we don't stand up. We don't, because there's no substance. You got to have substance. That's the reason you read the Bible. That's the reason you study. That's the reason you get discipleship. So you have some substance. And substance, you can stand under pressure. See, if you don't, you fold under pressure. I mean, just like anything else in life. It's a spiritual truth. So here's a perfect thing. Gideon, not 30. We'll do 300. Because Gideon, it's really not the guys anyway. It's just me. I'm doing it. It's not the 30, really even the 300, but at least with 300, you know, it's me. It's me doing this, Gideon. I just want you to get that. Oh, okay, God, we got it. And what do you have with, you've got these Jewish kids with all these advisors around Nebuchadnezzar. How are these Jewish kids going to stand up, you know? Because all those advisors folded. Hey, King, ain't nobody do this. Well, you know, nobody ever asked anybody to do this. King, we ain't do this. Who could do this? This Jewish kid over here, he can do it. This Jewish kid over here can do it. And you know what? When this Jewish kid over here does it, it's like, you know, I kind of like him hanging around. you guys are just kind of taking up space and eating a lot of my food. But this Jewish kid, he don't even eat that much. You know, he just had a thing. He said, he didn't want my meat, didn't want my wine, he wants vegetables. He said, hey, this is a win-win for me. See, it's the point is, how did Daniel come to the top? He came to the top under the pressure when the others folded. See, when you're in the pressure, don't fold with everybody else. Come to the top, and God will bless you. Well, he's really not blessing you. He's just revealing his glory through you. He's revealing his glory through you. And we're going to see this in Daniel and see Daniel's attitude. It's really helpful. So, okay, if anything, you walk out of this message. The impossibility is the opportunity. Why? Because God put pressure on the person, and that person put pressure on you. So we know we're connected with God, and the impossibility comes from God. Therefore, the opportunity is in the impossibility. Now, I was talking to someone the other day. Actually, a couple of people told me this and said, Wallace, I can't comprehend more than 3 points. He said, just give me 3 points. 1, 2, 3, and I'm okay. You go to point 4, and I'm lost, you know. So anyway, the 3 points, I have 6, by the way. But the three points are God moves, okay. Man moves. Number 3, the impossibility is the opportunity. That's it. That's the 3 points. Amen. Okay, so half of you can just kind of doze off. Okay, I know you hit your max. You're finished. You're just finished. But for the rest of you who want to persevere, I got 3 more points. Okay, 3 more points for those that want to endure or in this situation and seeing the opportunity. Number 4 in this situation. Number 4, okay. In the impossible, align yourself with God. In the impossible, align yourself with God. Now, see, you got a situation, and it's like Daniel. He's, oh, man, this is bad. King's going to kill everybody, including us. And let's see, I think there's a, and this is actually a truth, there's a canal that goes under the walls in Babylon, and that's how they actually got destroyed years later. Maybe we can do a little breaststroke and get through that canal. We get out of here. We get out of Dodge, man, because it's looking bad. You know, we've got to make some adjustments because it's really looking bad here. Or maybe we can get together and, you know, bribe the king. Maybe we can, you know, see, your mind is going all over the place to save your skin. But a believer will align themselves with God and say, okay, God, we know you move. We know the man move. And we know in the impossibility there's the opportunity. Therefore, we're going to align ourselves with you and we want to see what you want to do. Okay? And only a believer can do that because it's looking bad. A lot of people are thinking about leaving town right now. They're thinking about leaving town. In fact, his closest advisors are thinking, I think I better leave town. You know, I ain't no way until this guy what his dream is. You know, So that's the situation. You got this situation. Well, let's look at this. In the impossible, align yourself with God. Look at Daniel 2:12. I kind of summarized some of this, but Daniel 2:12. Because of this, the king was angry and very furious. You know what he's furious about? He's going, king, can't nobody do this. Nobody can interpret your dream. Why are you asking us such a thing? This guy has no sense of humor. Because of this, the king was angry and very furious and commanded that all the wise men of Babylon be destroyed. And Daniel went in, because Daniel's one of the wise men, and Daniel went in and requested the king to appoint him a time that he might show the interpretation to the king. He said, can we give us a shot? Verse 17. Then Daniel went to his house and made the matter known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. These are the other 3 Jewish kids with him. Okay? He said, hey, guys, I need to talk to you. His companions. So he made it known to his companions. And he told them to seek mercy from God of heaven concerning this mystery so that Daniel and his companions might not be destroyed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. He goes in and he says, hey, guys. Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Listen, king's going to kill everybody, including us, right? What we need to do is we need to go before the Lord and ask for mercy. It's the only hope. It's, you know, it's me and Jesus. You ever been in a situation, it's just me and Jesus. You know, that's what they were doing, the kind of Old Testament. It's just me and Jesus. Okay, guys, we got to come together and we got to ask God for mercy or he's going to kill us. So they do it. All they did, they just lined themselves with God. Now, this is really a good verse for a prayer team. You know, this, you want a prayer team about now, you know. I know a lot of people at Dove, they have prayer partners. And what they do, the people that do different ministry, they have people that pray for them all the time. This is where this came from, okay. Because I think we're going to all get killed. Let's pray together. Yeah, it's a motivation to pray. It's a funny what motivates you to pray. You know, death is a good one. So you're having a prayer team. They say, let's come together and pray together. You guys pray, because Daniel's saying, you guys pray, because I just went in and told the king. I just went in and told the king, I'm going to interpret his dream. So you guys pray. It's like, I don't have a clue. This story came to mind. I got to tell you this story. I need a break. This gets too intense. This is a break. I had a guy, a friend of mine. I love this guy. I may have told this before. I just love this guy. And he, and Linda and I, we flat broke. We didn't have any money in the car. It's something missing. Blew a gasket. And so this guy said, yeah, I can fix that. I said, you can. I'm dumb as a post. I said, you can fix it. Blew a gasket. Sure. What do you do? You know, go and turn the screw and it's fine. Yeah. And so he went in there. He opened up our car. It's an Oldsmobile about, I don't know what year it was. It's a fairly new car. And so he just went in. And so he pulled everything out. He pulled the engine. I never knew there's so much stuff in an engine. I never knew. And he had it lined up all over the parking lot. And it was an open engine. And he just put this like a little cardboard piece of thing on it. I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. And he laid it there. And he looked at it. And he said, Wallace, let's pray. And I'm going, I mean, like, there's a hole. You ever seen the inside of an engine block? It's just a hole. And all this. He said, let's pray. And he goes, dear God, I pray for wisdom. I have no idea what I'm doing. I was on the hood of my head, my hands on the hood of my car, and I go, oh, Jesus, give him wisdom. Oh, my God, give him wisdom. Anyway, that's where Daniel was. Okay, he said, oh, my God, I'm looking at the empty engine block. I just told him I can fix this thing. Give me wisdom. So these guys, they get together, they pray. And so this is good. This is something we should understand. Get some people around us. Get yourself, for you that are keeping on point four, we're on point four. Get some people around you and pray. So you can align yourself with God. See, this is reading Hebrews 4:16, right here. Hebrews 4:16. Let us then with confidence, draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. That's what Daniel did. Oh, come on. You guys, pray with me. We need help in our time of need. Let's pray. Align ourselves with God. Why? Because, and just think about the whole process, because the number one point we know is God moved. See, that's what we know. Then we know he moved, and we know the opportunity is in the impossibility. So we want to align ourselves with God. Okay, God, you're doing something big. We don't have a clue what you're doing, but we want to be a part of it. We want to be a part of it. So you align yourself with God. Amen? So having aligned ourselves with God, we open up ourselves to be vessels of God. We open up ourselves to be vessels of God in this situation. Now, here you got number five. What do you do? Vessels of God, what? To reveal the glory of God. We're vessels of God to reveal the glory of God. Vessels of divine manifestation. See, we put ourselves in a place to be vessels of God, revealing the glory of God. What is God doing? What is God doing? Revealing his glory. He just wants us to cooperate. He could come down and just, wham, here I am, God, Nebuchadnezzar, woo, do a flip, you know. But he didn't. No, I got these four Jewish teenagers over here, see. And he says, I want to reveal my glory, but I got to find somebody that will step into the impossible situation and give me the glory. And give me the glory. So what you have, we become vessels of divine glory. Because also, now, we understand what's happening. We understand what's going on here. See, look at Daniel 2:19. Then the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision of the night. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. God gave him a word. God gave him a wisdom. God gave him a step. And he gave God the glory. The glory. Now, this situation, he revealed a whole vision of a statue. But look at Daniel 2:27. And this tells you so much about Daniel. This tells you so much about how he wants his people to behave. Daniel 2:27. Daniel answered the king and said, okay, he got the info. I tell you what, it doesn't say too much about his three friends praying, but they must have been doing a good job, okay, because they're hitting it praying, and God reveals it to Daniel. Hey, good for the prayer team. Amen? So Daniel goes before the king. Daniel answered the king and said, no wise men, enchanters, magicians, or astrologers can show the king the mystery the king has asked. Hey, king, I can't do it. And nobody can tell. Then nobody can tell you this. None of your folks you got working for you can do this. Verse 28. But there is a God in heaven who reveals mystery. Look at this kid. He coming here, hands in his pocket, his shorts, untied tennis shoes, and t-shirt. You know. Now that's our teenagers, not there. That's it. Daniel probably looked a little different. He's like, I want to tell you that. And nobody can get this done. You know. But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. You see what happened? Ain't nobody can do it. But there is a God in heaven. Oh, I wish I could witness. Oh, I wish they'd come to know Christ. Don't fold under pressure. Don't fold under pressure. Because, you know, God moves. Man moves. The impossibility. The opportunity is in the possibility. You've aligned yourself with God. Reveal the glory. Don't fold. Don't fold. See? And just say, ain't nobody can do this, but there's a God in heaven who can reveal mysteries. Verse 30. But as for me, Daniel, this mystery has been revealed to me, not because of any wisdom that I have come more, not because of any wisdom that I have more than all the living. Daniel going, this has come to me. You know, but not because I'm smarter than anybody else. It has nothing to do with me. It doesn't have anything to do with I know. No, God just told me so you would know. That's different than saying, hey, King Neb, I want to tell you what's happening. I got this thing together. You need to bless my socks off because I got the insight. You know, and Neb would probably been happy with that. You know, because he still got the information. But God said, no, I want Daniel. Because what Daniel says, ain't nobody can do this. I can't do it. I have no wisdom to do it. But there's God in heaven who reveals mysteries. And he does it. Nebuchadnezzar, I want you to know it's him. It has nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with him. But he revealed this to me in order that the interpretation may be made known to the king. And that you may know the thoughts of your mind. He ministered to this king. He ministered to him. And you think, gosh, how can I minister to this person? And they're so obnoxious. Because when God puts pressure on them and they put pressure on you, the opportunity is in the impossibility, and you align yourself with God. And then you reveal the glory back to that person. And then that person, there's a witness of Christ. Amen? By the way, this is a Christian, this is a principle. This is a Christian principle. And this helps us to answer our question. God, what are you doing? I don't understand. We don't like the heat is the reason we don't understand. That's why we don't like the heat. You know, if pressure comes, we want out of the heat. And therefore, then we do things based on that. And instead of saying, no, I'm going to reveal God's glory in the heat. Because this is the way he witnesses. This is where the church is. But it has to be, the church has to know something besides Jesus loves me. And Jesus loves me is the truth. But you need to know what he's doing. What he's doing. See, and here's something so fascinating. How many times you heard in political scenes and stuff like that, people thought, well, you know, I'm not going to tell you my faith. It's a private matter, and religion is a private matter, and you shouldn't say it. You knew it because it's just something personal to you. That's a lie of the devil. Because the devil does not want this to happen. He wants you quiet. He wants Daniel. Shut up, Daniel. Shut up. Or Daniel, take the credit. Don't tell anything about God. They'll tell you, because soon as you start talking about the glory of God and people come to God, the evil one's defeated. See? Your Christian belief is not a personal matter. We are here to show the glory of God. God is in the business of revealing himself, and we are in the business of showing the glory of God. Now, ready for six? Okay, last one. Okay, six. Okay, the ones that just took the first three, you could nudge because I'm about done, okay? You dozed off on the first three. Here's six. Here's the last one. After all this has taken place and all this opportunity, be alert. Be alert to divine positioning. Be alert to divine positioning. Now listen to this, and I'll elaborate a little bit on it. Daniel 2:47. So Daniel has just told the king the dream. So he got Nebuchadnezzar's attention because he told him what he dreamed, and then he told him what it meant. The king answered and said to Daniel, "Truly, your God is God of gods, the Lord of kings, and the revealer of mysteries, for you have been able to reveal this mystery." He didn't say, "Hey, Daniel, you're a one-stomping good kid. Holy cow. You're a bright, shining star." Because that's even how Daniel presented it. It's not me. It's not. But there's God in heaven who reveals mysteries. And so Daniel, so the king has no view but God. Oh my God, God did this. The king answered and said to Daniel, "Truly, your God is God of gods." This is a pagan king with lots of gods. "And Lord of kings and revealer of mysteries, for you have been able to reveal this mystery." The king gave Daniel high honors and many great gifts and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylonia and chief perfect leader over the wise men of Babylon. See the guys that folded underneath, you know? The guys that they folded under the pressure. Daniel's boss now. Daniel's boss now because he didn't fold. See, he wasn't smarter than them. He just didn't fold. See, perseverance is a good quality because everybody else quit and you can be number one. You see? And that's what. So Daniel's here. So he's running the whole show. Daniel made a request of the king. And he appointed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon. He said, "Hey, I got this prayer team, and I'd like you to appoint them positions too." He probably didn't call it a prayer team, but he's thinking, "I got this prayer team. I'd like these guys to come with me." But the king says, "Hey, yeah, I'll appoint these guys, whoever you say. I'll listen to you." Oh, my gosh. See, so his prayer team gets exalted by Nebuchadnezzar. Okay, and it says, and Daniel remained in the king's court. Daniel remained in the king's court. Isn't that fascinating? Here it is. You start out, God moves, man moves, and he's never, "I'm going to kill everybody, including Daniel. Wipe you out. I'm going to kill you out. I'm going to kill you." Okay? Then it's like, oh my gosh. You see the opportunity and the impossibility. You align yourself with God. You reveal God's glory. And then now all of a sudden, on the turn of a dime, you're the man leading all the men. He just didn't quit. You just didn't quit. You stood up under the pressure because you could see he had kingdom sight of what's happening to you. And this is what happened. And this is what happens all through the Bible. And this is what happens with God's people. Now, when cooperating with God, God establishes divine positioning. I want to share this with you because people ask me this all the time. "Oh, should I get this job? Should I take this job? And this has more money, this has less money. Should I go here? Should I come back here? Should I do this?" And what do you think? And in all God's glory, I'll say, "I don't have a clue what you should do. I don't know, you know." What you want to do is like, what is God showing in this situation? What I'll tell people, what people tell me is, "This job is just so much pressure, I got to quit." I will always tell them, "Don't quit. Because God's moving and you're getting pressure. And you're just getting out of God's pressure. You will get in the worst situation." I say, "Hey, you ladies have those little kids, you know, and they're running around the house and you're changing diapers and they're putting pressure. And you say, 'I quit, I'm getting out of this.' Now they put you in jail. Okay, I just lock you up for that. But you have the same feeling. But you have the guy, maybe he's working, oh, there's so much for you. Quit, we'll get something else. They ought to put him in jail. See, because you're moving out. Just as the woman would move out from undertaking care of the kids is irresponsible, the husband moving out from the job to something easier is irresponsible. Y'all see what I'm saying? Or, you know, if a woman's in the job and something, it's pressure, and she just moves because of the pressure. You don't move because of the pressure. If you're selling drugs, you should quit. Okay, get a new job. Okay. However, if it's just pressure, no, that's not it. Because what it is, God will move in the situation and put pressure on the person, and that person put pressure on you. And the opportunity is in the impossibility. You align yourselves with God, and you become a shining light of glory to reveal God's glory in the situation. And God will put you in the place you're supposed to be. Is that what you wanted to be? He'll put you in a place you're supposed to be. Supposed to be. And that's what you want to do. And that's how we know. That's how we know what to do. Fascinating. Don't ever move because of pressure. Don't. Because you're moving out from the hand of God. Now, if he tells you something under that pressure, move. He tells you something. But that's the thing. But how do you know to move? Because you've aligned yourself with God. You went through the stages. Here is, and we can put everybody in here in the same situation. Pressure. Pain, agony, pressure. Okay? What do we know? God's moving. Man's moving. Because usually pressure comes from other people, doesn't it? Isn't that fascinating? Now, no, it's Nebuchadnezzar. It's the lost people. I ain't know any difference. Okay? They're putting pressure on us. Then we say, okay, our opportunity is in this impossibility. And then what we do is that say, okay, then what we want to do is align ourselves with God. God, what are you doing? What are you teaching me? What are you showing me? Or maybe, what are you teaching the other person and that you want through the glory of God to reveal to that other person? It may not have nothing to do with you. Just don't quit so that you can be a good witness to that person. And you have people come up and saying, man, I can't. And I've seen this happen, have people witness to this. You know, they apologize. I just put so much junk on you and I know it was miserable. I never seen anybody respond like you did. You see what it did? It worked. It worked. And they even knew they were a Nebuchadnezzar, you know. But then they say, gosh, you surprised me. See what I'm saying? So we know God move, people move, put pressure on us, and we see the opportunity in the impossibility, and we align ourselves with God. God, what are you doing? I need to show your glory. I need to show your glory. Not take the first horse out of Dodge. I need to show your glory. And then you have the opportunity to reveal the majesty of God. And you go, hey, how'd you do this? And, you know, you're right. There ain't no human that could have done what you did, what you asked me to do. But there's a God in heaven who gives strength. And I called upon him, and he gave me strength. You see what I'm saying? It's like, oh, my God. And then you know what happened? You're going to get placed someplace in a position. And it's going to be the place where God wants you. Instead, you go, I want to do this. Crapshoot, go here. Crapshoot, go here. This is a good guy. This is a bad guy. I thought he was a good guy. Now I'm working for him. Now he really is a bad guy. You know, I just sold a bill of goods. And God goes, you never listen to me anyway. So that's what you deserve. Yeah, I got a few grins out of that. But the point of it is that we need to understand the magnitude of God, how he's working within our lives. He's working within our lives. And he does stuff like you got a 32,000-man army. He goes, I'll cut it down to 300. And now you can whip them because it's God. It's not the men. Oh, it's just fascinating. Are y'all fascinating this? So now here, let me a little caveat here. We cannot be assured that we'll always get a special promotion, a special raise, or even special gratitude. No, we can't be assured of that. However, we can be assured that we will be where we are supposed to be, and that the long-term impact, we will have all the protection and provision of God in the long term. Amen. I'm telling you, this is a truth, folks. This is a truth. My age, I've seen it over and over and over, happened. Don't be like this one guy came to see me one time. And he goes, quit my job, moved to Florida, and bought a house. And he says, what do you think I should do? I thought, do y'all follow what I just said? He said, what should I do? He already got the job and bought a house. And I said, I'm sure God will bless it. I don't know what you're asking me. You already did it. Don't do it. Ask me if you want to do it. Just do it. You know, but don't ask me what to do after you did it, you know. In the depths of my heart, I thought it was a mistake. Now, hindsight, 20 years later, I can tell you, it was an absolute catastrophe. It was an absolute, Lynn knows who I'm talking about. It was an absolute catastrophe. He goes, why did I ever do that? I said, well, you know, no sense just pouring salt in the wound. I said, you know, God will teach you something. You'll work through it and whatever, you know, like that. But he bailed. He bailed because of the pressure here. It was sun shining in Florida. Sunshine. But he got down there in July, no heat, no air conditioning. It is hot in Florida. It is a bad time in Florida for him. Now, so just know the point is, overlying point, like that. God is moving like this. You know, don't let our own personal comforts dictate our perception of what God's doing. Look at the scriptures and see the principles of what God's doing, okay? Because how does God get our attention sometimes? To disrupt the things of this world and the plans of man. That's what he does. He disrupts it. And he said, the ways of the world don't work. The plans of your man doesn't work. But I got a Daniel here. That'll be able to speak God into your life. You're going to see me work through the words of this Daniel. You're going to see something in this Daniel. You're going to see something here. And it's different than anything else you saw. And then you're going to witness the glory of God. And there's nothing wrong with saying, you know, I gave it my best shot. I work, you know, and, you know, I try to be the best employee or whatever I can be. But I just want you to know, it's the strength of God that I was able to persevere through this. It was the wisdom of God that I was able to persevere through that. Said, amen. Whatever you got, it worked. He'll never forget. They'll never forget that you just said that. That you gave glory to God. And to me, by the way, some of you got 3 points. Some of you got 6. Okay? But when I come back to our same old closing verse, but it puts you in a perspective of what God says about us. When you look at this and where we are and what God is saying about his people, we are here for a purpose. You know, I could have entitled this message, Don't Quit. Don't quit. Don't bail. You know, don't get out of town just because it's tough. Don't quit. But look at what God has placed us, and we look at the glory he's given us. We give praise Jesus for our salvation. We are forgiven. But let's look at the carrying on of that, of his ministry here, and we look again. Look at who we are. Look at who we are. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Look at who we are. Yes, Jesus loves us. But the points 1 through 6 apply too. For our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. He who knew no sin became sin. He became our sin, that we may be the righteousness of God. Add points 1 through 6 through that so that we can show that righteousness of God to the world. So we can show it to the world. That's what he said. Yeah, we are righteous. And if we don't do one thing, we'll go to heaven and, hey, you know, we're in. We're forgiven. But while we're here, this is not a retirement home. This is not a retirement home. I'm going to say something, and I get in trouble in this, but I'll just say it anyway, okay? God is not beating himself up worrying about your retirement. He is not, you know? If you become that, you just give up and you're going to stay home and read magazines and eat chocolates and watch TV, you know, he'll just take you home. In fact, he may take you home, but you need enough chocolates. You know, that's not the purpose. The purpose is here is to share the glory of God. That's why we are here. This is not a retirement home. And we have the right, we're righteousness of God, and we are to show that righteousness. Again, I just want to repeat this until it just drives you nuts. Drives you nuts. We're going to show the righteousness of God. We know that Jesus loves us. But what we also know, that God's moving. And we also know he's moving on the lost people. And we also know that those people are moving on us. And we know when they move on us, we know in the impossibility is the opportunity. And therefore, we align ourselves with God to see what God is doing. And when God shows us what he's doing, and then we're going to reveal the glory of God, the righteousness of God to those people, that they can see God. And then God, based on that, will divinely put us where we're supposed to be. Don't quit. Don't quit. Let God move you, but don't quit. Amen. While we stand and praise Jesus and sing, praise his name. Hallelujah. I mean, are you all excited about Daniel? Are you excited about Daniel? I mean, the book, Old Testament, those things, you see those stories and those accounts, and God is trying to show us how he's working, and he's trying to show us to encourage us, because we will be in impossible situations. I mean, I could do a hand. How many of you have been in a tough situation? You know? Jesus loves you. I mean, it's like, but it's more than that. No, God's moving. Man move. And there's the opportunity. And that's where you're supposed to be. That's part of God's hand. That's what he's doing, because he's showing your glory. You're in the battle. You're in the battle to do great things for God by standing strong. Amen.